97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hello and welcome into the podcast exclusive of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with Bo Matthews and Chad Ellis. And this week we are talking with the Sheriff of Jefferson County, Sheriff Dave Marshak, who joined us on the show this week. If you missed this week's Second Amendment Radio and you're downloading this podcast, it's real easy to download the show podcast as well. And we certainly appreciate you downloading both of our podcasts that we release every week here at Second Amendment Radio. And Sheriff, thanks so much for putting in a little overtime and continuing this conversation with us. How's it going?
Glad to be here with you guys.
Yeah, you bet. So we were talking on the show about some of the rumors that I have heard, and I think some of the stories that are out there about police officers just randomly pulling people over and making them prove that they are allowed to be on the streets right now, and how that is basically a fabrication, that is not something that police are spending their time doing. But something else that you touched on the show that we didn't really get a chance to get into was some of the unique challenges that you guys are dealing with out on the streets, and some of the unique ideas that lawbreakers are coming up with to try to avoid getting a ticket or getting arrested. And one of those is we've heard stories before, and I think my partner on the Weekend Report, Chris Arps, asked you about this last week when we had you on that show, that people are getting pulled over and, you know, either holding up a sign or yelling out the window before the officer is able to approach, saying, "I have coronavirus, you don't want to get near me," and an attempt to get out of Is that really happening?
I have to be honest with you. I mean, if I was working the street and I pulled a car over and somebody had a sign, I might probably give them a warning too and just wave them on. So, there's probably some legitimacy to that.
So, have you had a case of that in Jeff County though?
Not to my knowledge. Okay. I mean, other than the fact that we joke about it, but I will tell you, we have had arrests or encounters, personal encounters with persons that have claimed to have the coronavirus, whether it's legit or not. But we have to take those things seriously.
Yeah, wow. that they don't want the interaction with the police at that time, so they say, "Hey, I have coronavirus. You don't want to be coming to my house or knocking on my door or whatever." But you did mention, Sheriff, and I've seen this personally. Like, I have some personal experience with this that I'm not going to give any details on, though, about, like you said, domestic or divorce situations or child custody situations where it's already a tense situation, and you know, there's, you know, these situations that, you know, like the, you know, one parent picking up the kid from the other parent just seems to always be a problem, no matter, even if it's the best of times. And right now, people using coronavirus is saying, like, "I'm not going to give my kids to my ex this weekend because I don't know what's been going on in that house and I don't want them over there." So they're trying to use coronavirus to change the rules of their custody agreements, basically.
It doesn't matter. You know, it's an important role that the judicial circuits play. And I know that as of yesterday, the 23rd Judicial Circuit in Jefferson County sent out a notice to all participants that have business with them that they are not going to get involved in some of these child custody disputes. And if they do, as a result of bad information from the coronavirus, that there's going to be consequences. And it's a problem that we're dealing with on the road, where one party doesn't want to return the child to the parents and claim either they suspect the other party, the other parent, has a potential for coronavirus, or, you know, they've explained symptoms. And so it continues to be an issue for us, along with a number of calls for service that kind of vary a little bit.
Yeah, just to remember, it is against the law to file a false report or make a false accusation. You know, Sheriff, what I'd like to talk to you about, since this is Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, of course, you've seen the headlines, gun sales through the roof, a lot of first-time gun buyers. How are you talking to your deputies? And I mean, because I believe people are buying up the firearms and ammo to protect themselves against burglary, robbery, things like that. What would you say to a new gun buyer or even a seasoned gun buyer when it comes to protecting your home and property?
Well, there's a lot to say about this. I mean, number one, safety first. Our officers responded in the last couple of days to a new firearm owner who accidentally shot himself because the gun was still loaded. So, number one, let's practice basic firearm safety, if nothing else. Number two, we value our CCW holders that both carry their weapons but are trained. And so get appropriate training if you're going to purchase a firearm and then carry a firearm or have one in your home for self-defense. Let's follow some basic procedures and keep yourself and your family safe. But I support the fact that we're seeing an increase in gun sales, and I applaud the fact that people are supporting private businesses because, you know, these gun stores are owned privately and independently, and so I think it's good for independent owners to, you know, have kind of a jump start now.
Yeah, I mentioned on the show this week that I agree with you. I think it's great that people are exercising their Second Amendment right to defend themselves, and maybe people who haven't had a gun in their life or haven't owned a gun or maybe haven't used or owned one in a very long time are going out and making sure that they have that to protect themselves. But that does create a safety issue, I think, more for that individual than it does the public, that if you don't know how to use that firearm, you could get yourself hurt. So I couldn't agree more with saying make sure you get the proper training if you're buying a firearm right now and it's something that you don't have a lot of experience with.
I'm assuming this is, you know, since we're talking about the outdoors and Second Amendment radio, let's be realistic here for a second. The fact is, your listeners who are listening to this show and outdoorsmen like me are going to fare, if there is total anarchy, and let's just be honest here, I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But if there was total anarchy anyway, it's not going to be the first-time gun buyer that is going to really protect the world. It's going to be your outdoorsman first. And so, while I said I'm glad to see more people are engaged in protecting their family and, you know, want the firearm for comfort and all those things, but again, I try to look at things from a realistic approach.
So, real question. We know that people are out there hoarding things like toilet paper and disinfectant wipes. Have you guys had to respond to any calls about fights over toilet paper
at the Walmart?
I'm so serious. Like, I could definitely see two people grabbing onto the last pack of toilet paper and wrestling around on the floor. Have you guys had to deal with any of that?
No, we haven't had to deal with it. But you're right. That's a crisis. And when it comes time you don't have paper, that's going to be a crisis.
I'm telling you what, I don't know who's going to be busier here in a couple weeks. The plumbers that are going to be having to deal with people using everything but toilet paper to...
Tony, there's going to be no clogs because everybody's using only one square. At least at my house, you get one square per visit.
But when you run out and you're using when you're using one paper towel or one baby wipe...
The exact reason I didn't get my leaves off the ground in the fall, they're still down on the ground and I have access to them. Just saying. Country boy can't survive.
These are strange times, we all agree.
Yeah,
and,
you got that right.
You know, I think it's important for us to keep things in perspective. The supply chains are working. I think the shelves will get stocked up again, as I've seen over the last couple of days. You know, more supplies are coming in. Hopefully the panic subsides a little bit, even though I think this is going to get a little bit worse. But, you know, at the same time, keep things in perspective. And in strange times, I think what we have to watch out for is those politicians making some of these and acting some of this crazy legislation to further their own agendas. And that may be inconsistent with our forefathers' provisions of the Second Amendment. And I think we need to keep that in perspective and keep a careful eye of watching government these days.
All right. Sheriff Marshak, I got a question for you as far as recruiting goes. A lot of people are out of work, lost their job, on furlough, whatever. If they've ever had an inkling to become a law enforcement officer, mm-hmm. a police officer, a sheriff, what would you say to those people that are thinking, okay, my job just got, you know, collapsed over here in this mechanic parts department, whatever, and I'm thinking law enforcement, what's the next step they should take?
Well, listen, I'll tell you, because of the uncertainty of the future, many law enforcement agencies are not actively pursuing it. I think we're a lot of agencies, including our own, is almost on hold, waiting to see what's going to happen with this economy. We need to look at the long term as a result. Just because we're a government agency doesn't mean we're immune to some of what's going on in the economy. The fact is, you know, we in large part are funded by a half-cent sales tax. So our organization in long term is going to be impacted by some of the things that are going on right now. So I can tell you from a financial perspective, we're looking at the long term as well. You know, we're always historically been looking for police officers. Every organization in the entire region and around the country has had a problem with staffing. We'll wait and see what happens with these economic changes right now and how that impacts us in terms of hiring and retention.
Okay, that's your perspective. But if I'm a person that's out of a job, maybe think considering law enforcement as far as the educational part of it. Can you lead them down that path?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, these days, I will tell you that from a law enforcement perspective and the challenges that we face, we want educated police officers. And so
so do we.
At a minimum, associate's degree, preferentially a bachelor's degree. But we accept police officers, even with college education or high school education, to go to the police academy. And we'll take a look from there.
Sheriff, do you have any concerns about the length of this starting to sort of make people a little crazy and that could cause some problems? I've been saying from the very beginning that, by and large, people are, they understand this, and they understand that, you know, we've all got to make some sacrifices, and we've got to hunker down, and we've got to obey all these rules, and they're okay with it for now. But I think that 3 or 4 weeks go by and people are going to start really wanting to get back to work and get back to life as it is. And if that doesn't happen, I think that sentiment is going to start to turn and say, okay, we did everything you said for as long as you said to do it. And you're not lifting these rules. Do you have any concerns about, you know, if this goes on for a long period of time, people getting, you know, a little frisky out there?
Sure, I agree with you. I mean, I think that we are in unprecedented times. I think we're willing to take advice from the professionals and heed the warnings and practice social distancing. But I think as Americans, we want that freedom. Mm-hmm. And we want an opportunity, you know, to take a chance on our own lives and live it our own way. I think we have a responsibility now to practice some of these. And at the same time, you know, our country was founded on some principles of freedom. And I think you'll see that. You can't keep everybody, you know, confined forever. And I think that will transition at some point. Hopefully everything goes smooth. I feel comfortable that the leadership's going to make the right decisions as we move forward. And I think everything's going to be okay in the end.
One last question, Sheriff. How are you guys doing staffing-wise? Has the coronavirus hit you and your staff at all? Or are your deputies and everybody healthy and happy as much as possible right now?
You know, right now, yeah. I mean, the officers are doing well, and they're in positive spirits. I think we have to keep things in perspective. Our first responders are out there every day, whether they're from fire, EMS, or law enforcement, protecting their community. Right now, we really hope that those who are really in the front lines is our healthcare professionals.
Yeah.
And we can't forget them as they're out there doing the business every day. But our guys are in good spirits, and they're going to be there to protect their community. And I feel comfortable saying that everything's going to work out.
So, Sheriff of Jefferson County, Dave Marshak. Sheriff, it's always great to talk with you. Great information. If people are listening and they live in Jefferson County, are there any social media outlets or websites or anything that they can go to keep up with what you guys are doing there as far as, you know, staying informed and all that stuff?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at Sheriff Marshak, and also the Sheriff's Office is easily accessible from Facebook and Twitter as well. And we're always happy to communicate with the people out there. I hope everyone stays safe.
Great stuff, Sheriff. Thank you so much for your time. I'm sure we'll talk to you again very, very soon.
Have a good day.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. All right. And that is going to wrap up this edition of the podcast exclusive of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Thank you for listening to the show every Saturday at 3 p.m. on 97.1 FM Talk and every Sunday at 6 p.m. on KMOX. And thanks for supporting the show and downloading the podcast. And we'll see you again real soon. For Bo Matthews and Chad Ellis, I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you for listening to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Get more at 971talk.com.